The holidays are a perfect time to reflect, to be thankful for what you have, the family you love, the friends you cherish, and for the blessings that will come. David and Melissa Cotting wish you the hope, the joy, and the wonder of the holidays today and throughout the coming new year.
You're listening to a special New Year's Day presentation on Jazzy, Grandma's Old Radio, celebrating the golden age of radio, presented as a holiday gift from David and Melissa Cotting and Jazzy 93.7. KJZY Sebastopol.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Those thrilling days of yesteryear were sometimes embarrassing days. During those moments when radio speech was not spoken trippingly on the tongue, or when things just plain went wrong, such as Frank Burkholzer doing a news story about the NBC radio engineers being on strike, but everything proceeding normally, while in the background, we could hear sounds that told us otherwise.
NBC Radio, news on the hour, brought to you by Cools, America's most refreshing cigarette. The cigarette with mild menthol for that clean, cool taste. Now, here is Frank Burkholzer, NBC News.
NBC management announces that an unauthorized strike against radio and television networks continue, but normal programming is being maintained by supervisory personnel. President Eisenhower has vetoed a bill which would have taken away from the Secretary of Agriculture his power over REA loans. He said it would have marked a major retreat from sound administrative policy. The government of Argentina has issued a decree prohibiting organized activity.
Burkholzer wasn't wearing his earphones, so he couldn't hear what was going on the air. Taylor Grant on ABC ran into an unexpected problem when the telephone switching employees went on strike just as he went on the air. When he called in his correspondents to report their stories, the switches weren't thrown and they didn't get on the air. And that left Grant somewhat mystified.
In Washington, General Bradley's speech today was one of several interesting news developments dealing with our military defenses. Here's a summary by Gunner Back. We seem to be unable to contact Washington at this time. Let's try once again. Our cue to Washington is, here is a summary by Gunner Back. Sorry, we seem to be unable, for some inexplicable reason, to contact correspondent Gunner Back in Washington. Now then, to the nation's sports fans, the biggest news in quite a while is building tonight in Chicago, where world heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano is about to meet that challenge from ex-champ Jersey Joe Walcott. We sent correspondent Tom Casey to the weighing-in ceremonies today, and he recorded this report at that dramatic scene. Well, Mother told me there would be days like this.
And again on ABC, Bill Ewing, giving the network cue, had trouble with the word network.
This is the ABC Radio Network.
Net week, indeed. Every announcer has had his moments such as these that he would rather forget, whether you call them goofs, boners, fluffs, bloopers, blow-ups, slips, spoonerisms, flubs, or tongue twisters. They all end up the same way. Embarrassing. Here's an announcer who wasn't quite sure where he was.
This program originated in Studio ACC in Hollywood. This is the ABC Radio Network.
Here's a voice you'll probably remember. It's Glenn Riggs doing the close to a program called My True Story. Glenn makes what I think is a rather interesting recovery.
Enjoyed the program which you have just heard. The editors of True Story magazine, who supplied the material from which it was adapted, are sure you will also enjoy reading I Wasn't Born Singing. Here's the heartbreaking story of Betty Hutton, the bombshell of filmdom, or something like that, who pulls no punches in talking of the mistakes she made in her search for love.
Even though the actors on the radio were able to read right from their scripts, they still got into trouble from time to time. Here's a man who turns a couple of words around and gets them in the wrong place. Listen carefully.
Jack, why don't you ever say that you love me?
Honey, you're the best man that a wife could ever have. I'm truly fond of you.
The best man a wife could ever have. The slip of the tongue plagued announcers from the lowliest on the smallest backwoods stations to the very biggest in the business. And I mean all the way up to Lowell Thomas.
Well, Alice, thank you for us. Phil Harris, the band leader. She explains that working so hard all day in the film studio, she is sometimes not in such perfectly good humor. She snaps about me. Which is all wrong. Which I say are all for us. And I'll leave the rest of it to you.
Now Lowell Thomas says,
so long until tomorrow.
This program came to you from New York.
Radio's all-time classic blooper may never have happened at all. In 1930, announcer Harry Von Zell, just a young new broadcaster at the time, was the master of ceremonies for a special tribute on the network to President Herbert Hoover. Supposedly, when it came time for Von Zell to greet Mr. Hoover at the end of the program, Von Zell said, "Our president, Hubert Heaver." Some who say they were there say it never happened at all. Others will swear that they were listening and heard it exactly that way. We don't know for sure, but we do have a piece of tape with a voice that sounds like Harry Von Zell introducing President somebody. What do you think?
By this tribute, may we express to you our love, our admiration for you, our president, and may we bring you happiness on this your birthday. To our president, Heaver Herver.
Was it or wasn't it? Did he or didn't he? Listen again.
To our president, Heaver Herver.
The man who gave us that tape swears it's Von Zell on Hoover's birthday in 1930. Others have told us it's an impersonator sounding like Von Zell. We don't know, but it's an interesting question. 50 years of broadcasting history are passing before your very ears. And we'll hear from Tom Mix when we return in a moment with more of Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
The hero of this next program was a real, honest-to-goodness living man. He was no daydream of a radio writer or some press agent. Tom Mix had been a U.S. Marshal, a sheriff in Kansas and Oklahoma, and a Secret Service agent for the U.S. government. He was a war hero who fought at San Juan Hill with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders. He fought in the Boxer Rebellion and in the Boer War, and again in World War I. He was the world's champion cowboy in rodeo competition, and at one time, the world's highest-paid movie star. Tom Mix died in an auto accident in 1940, but the program went on until 1950, with Curly Bradley playing the part of Tom Mix from 1943 until the end. The episode we're about to hear is from May 8th of 1945, which was VE Day, the day Germany surrendered in World War II. Some hasty changes were made in the script, and the show went on. And listen for the patriotic morale message from Tom at the end of the show.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters bring you action, mystery, and mile-a-minute thrills in radio's biggest Western detective program. Tonight you're about to hear another episode in a baffling mystery, Secret Mission.
In the center of the web of which Tom has spoken sits K-12. K-12 sits behind a large desk in a darkened office high above a city street. The night sky is framed in the window of his office, and against that window, K-12 is a black silhouette. But on the desk before him, colored lights gleam on and off. K-12 watches those lights intently some moments before a buzzer sounds.
K-12. The weather has cleared now in St. Louis, ceiling 5,000 feet. He's to start at once. There's a field lined with Lebanon cedars just the other side of Drusilla Drake's house. He will land at the north end of the field and wait. Yes, he can land easily. I've just had a report that the wind at the field is directly south. Very good. K-12. F-17 knows his instructions to the letter. Mike Shaw. Well, then, Mix took him along, did he? Just as well. Shaw's an excellent man, so long as he's not told too much. Well, then, tell F-17 to notify the others first. When they're safely in the plane, then notify Shaw. K-12. He's to be at Fisherman's Wharf at precisely 9:15 tomorrow night. He knows what to do. That is all. Slip-ups? When I handle an assignment, my friend, there are no slip-ups.
I'm just naturally having a good time.
Oh, why not, Mike? Enjoy yourself.
Well, I don't feel like I ought to talk. After all, Miss Drake told us she was giving this year party for a purpose. So it isn't really on account of VE Day.
No, Mike. It's to throw our pursuers off the trail.
Well, now, Tom, just how can a party throw them off on the trail?
You remember, Mike, when we arrived this morning, we were given a complete change of clothes?
Yeah, yeah, and I reckon I sure look kind of outstanding in this year monkey suit.
You look all right. Leastways, the suit blends in with the crowd. The object of this whole thing, Mike, is to lose us in the crowd.
Huh?
I noticed that Miss Drake and Moonlight have already disappeared.
See, that's right, Tom. I've been looking all over for Miss Drake. And
lost your heart again, eh, Michael?
Well, she is mighty... Well, she's a nice young lady, Tom.
Yes, she sure is. Well, let's go over and get a glass of that punch.
Yeah, all right, Tom, all right. Hey, it sure is mighty good punch, too. I never tasted none better in Dobie. But, Tom, where do you reckon that they disappeared to? And what's going to happen to us? I mean, Tom, if they disappear, then it's dollars to donuts that we'll find... Tom. Hey, Tom! Son of a reason, I thought he was right here behind me. No, he's gone.
A glass of punch, sir?
No, thanks. I got troubles at the minute.
Glass of punch is excellent for that sort of thing, sir. A glass of punch sometimes solves the most difficult of problems.
It does, huh?
Yes, sir. For example, to solve the problem of where your friend has gone.
What? And how do you know?
I would suggest you take this glass of punch and saunter through that door right over there. It leads out onto a terrace.
Oh, sure.
And when you reach the terrace, just keep walking straight ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, powerful.
Not at all, sir. Not at all.
Well, here's the terrace. Fella said to go straight on. Well, I reckon that's just what I'd better do. Seems to be a line of trees over there. Look like cedars. Lebanon cedars. Well, I'll just keep straight on and follow instructions like Tom has drilled me to do. It's funny. Sounds to me like I hear a plane motor. It is a plane motor. Sassafras and sourdough, there's a plane up there at the north end of the field. Now, I wonder if...
Come on, Mike, hurry!
It's Tom! Give him a netly, Tom!
Come on, in with you, Mike.
Yes, Tom, yes. Thunderation. Miss Drake, Mr. Moonlight, and you, Tom, all in the plane.
And you too, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm here too. Well, what do you know?
No more than we knew before, Mike, except we're taking the next step on a long and dangerous trail to Europe.
No, only talk. Wait till I drink this here glass of punch.
Tomorrow, thrilling and unexpected things happen. For action and rip-roaring adventure, don't miss Tom Mix and his Ralston Straight Shooters tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Secret Mission. And now, here is Tom Mix.
You know, a lot of you straight shooters can hardly remember when there wasn't a war going on. You've grown up with words like commando and ration stamps and V-mail. Now today, something big has happened. Germany, Hitler's Germany, has surrendered. But all of you straight shooters know that this thing called war isn't nearly over. You know from your geography books that Japan is a lot harder country to lick. It means that the folks in your family are going to have to keep right on at their war jobs, and every one of us will have to keep on working and fighting until there isn't any war left anywhere in the world. Someday this old world is going to belong to you boys and girls. But it's up to all of us to pitch in now and make it the kind of a world worth having.
May 8th, 1945, VE Day. and Tom Mix, asking all of us young straight shooters to hang in there. You hang in there, too, as we continue to turn time around. We'll be hearing from Superman in just a moment on Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
And now it's time for that strange visitor from outer space who could only be harmed by kryptonite radiation. He fought criminals and then disguised himself at other times as the mild-mannered Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet, a large metropolitan newspaper in Metropolis. Why he felt he must disguise himself, I could never figure out. The man was invulnerable, so from whom was he hiding? Knives and bullets couldn't hurt him. In fact, he was the only man on Earth who was
faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Yes, it's Superman, and today, as we resume our story, Jimmy Olsen and his little rhymester friend Poco are meeting with some strange experiences in the frozen North. When the plastic space shell carrying Jimmy Olsen and Poco crashed in the snowbank near the North Pole, our friends were rescued by two Eskimos, a brother and sister named Utak and Nulia. The Eskimos explained that their barren territory was now controlled by brutal German soldiers who had arrived in planes and whose mission was unknown. Just then, the barking of dogs signaled the approach of several sleds, and Nulia reported that they carried German soldiers. As we continue now in the Eskimos' igloo, the injured Jimmy and Poco have struggled to sitting positions, and Utak and his sister stand by as a German officer and his aide, the latter holding a gun, stride into the snow house. Listen. Come now, we go.
Huh? But go where? That much you will find out.
Hurry, up on your feet. You, Utak, and you, Nulia, will accompany us.
Me too?
Yeah.
Where do you take us?
To your father in prison, so that he may say goodbye to you.
Goodbye? Sugmut?
Speak not your barbaric Eskimo tongue to me.
I know not. What is it you mean?
I mean that tomorrow, when all the other Eskimos have been summoned to witness what happens to those who disobey us, you and your sister and these two Americans will die.
What?
Oh, sorrow, oh, woe.
Naka, Naka, we did nothing.
You hit the Americans.
Naka, Naka.
I hired with them to escape.
They did not. And listen, you can't do anything to us.
Take them to the sleds, Corporal.
You're all here, Colonel. Come.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
I said come.
It is no fun to argue with a guy.
No, I... Okay. Take that pistol out of my ribs. I've got to get out of this sleeping bag, don't I?
Max Schneider, you're too, fat one.
Oh, hurry, worry, worry, hurry.
Call through the entrance.
Gee, Utak, I'm sorry we got you into this mess.
Sooner or later, it would have come, Kabluna. I could no longer tolerate living as a slave.
Take them to the sleds, Corporal. I will be out as soon as I've had some tea.
Ja, Herr Colonel. Call through the entrance, I said.
Okay, okay. Come on, Poco.
This is truly sad, my friend. Come so far to such an end.
Crawling out of the igloo, Jimmy, Poco, and the two Eskimos are placed on the dog sleds and driven away. Meanwhile, having searched all night for the space shell over dark wastes of land and ocean, Superman has returned to the Daily Planet, where once more in the garb and guise of Clark Kent, he has just entered Editor Perry White's office, where he finds Miss Backrack, White's secretary.
Mr. Kent, we've been looking all over for you.
Oh, I've been busy. Any word from Jim Olsen and Poco?
Well, no.
Oh, where's Mr. White and Miss Lane?
They went over to Coast Guard headquarters. There was a report of the space shell.
There was? Who saw it and where? When?
The Coast Guard cut a Cartwright saw it yesterday.
Where?
Up north somewhere, over the ocean.
Where up north? I just come from there and I...
You what?
Never mind. Think, Miss Backrack. Where did the Cartwright see that space shell? Or don't you know?
Of course I know. I took the message from the Coast Guard myself.
Well?
It was in the North Atlantic, about 400 miles above Iceland.
Iceland?
Oh, Mr. Kent, when I think of poor Jimmy and Poco in that space shell...
Well, we're not sure they're in it.
Yes, we are. The captain of the cutter saw them.
What? Are you sure?
Yes. He said there were two people. One of them, a short, fat man, in the shell.
That's Poco. Oh, gee, and I kept hoping he and Jim weren't in that shell if they'd turn up here safe. Look, Miss Backrack, which way did the Coast Guard captain say the space shell was headed?
He didn't say.
He didn't? Well, I'll find out.
Well, you can't. All the Coast Guard stations have been trying for hours to contact the Cartwright.
Yes?
But they can't contact her. They're afraid something's happened to her.
What? But that can't be, Miss Backrack. Only the captain of the Cartwright can tell me which way that space shell was going. I've got to find him.
You? How can you find him, Mr. Kent?
I've got an idea. I'll see you later, Miss Backrack. Go on.
Hurrying into his own office, Kent swiftly resumes his true identity of Superman, then leaps high from his window and streaks into the north. While farther he ranges and farther, flashing across Newfoundland, across the tip of Greenland, and then across Iceland. Now he is over mountainous storm-lashed waves, heading still north into rumbling, lightning-torn skies. Well, there's still no sign of the Cartwright. Wait a minute. The storm is blowing from the east. It means if anything happened to the cutter, it would be swept west. Away to the west, then. Don't see it yet. What do I do now? I guess I'll have... Wait a minute. What's that down there in the sea, sinking below the waves? Down! Down! Great Scott, it's a ship. A Coast Guard cutter. And... Yes, it says Cartwright on its bow.
Poised above the gigantic waves, Superman sees the Coast Guard cutter Cartwright plunge beneath the icy waters. Apparently beyond help even from the Man of Steel. Can Superman possibly do anything to save the seemingly doomed men and the vessel's captain, who possesses the only clue to the location of the space shell? What will happen now to Jimmy Olsen and Poco and their Eskimo friends Utak and Nulia, sentenced to die by the secret German garrison near the North Pole? Don't miss tomorrow's exciting episode in the story of the space shell. Tune in, same time, same station for... The Adventures of Superman.
I wouldn't miss it for all of the secret decoders and shake-up mugs in Radioland. And on this same station, we're going to keep going back through the pages of radio history. Fred Allen is next when we return, in just a moment, with Grandma's Old Radio.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. Send him on his way. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. Send him on his way. Don't try to patch it up, tear it up, tear it up. Wash him out, dry him out, push him out, fly him out. Cancel him and let him go. Hey, sister, I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. Send him on his way. If you laugh at different comics, if you root for different teams, waste no time, weep no more. Show him what the door is for. Rub him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams. You can't light a fire when the woods are wet. You can't make a butterfly strong. You can't fix an egg when it ain't quite good. And you can't fix a man when he's wrong. You can't put back a petal when it falls from a flower, or sweeten up a fella when he starts turning sour. Oh no, oh no. If his eyes get dull and fishy when you look for glints and gleams, waste no time, make a switch, drop him in the nearest ditch. Rub him out of the roll call and drum the humdrum bum right out of your dreams. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms.